And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is all business all the time. Each of my guests is talking about an aspect of business that is important to each of us. My first guest is an expert on Social Security, and she told us some of the fallacies and myths that are surrounding the Social Security debate going on in the United States government today. My second guest is an expert on negotiation, and he told us some of his negotiating ploys to get to yes without giving up your integrity or your position. My next guest has founded one of the world's most interesting museums, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that. He's also coming to Ventura County, and we'll talk to him about his upcoming visit to the county as well. Glenn Whitney aims to make math fun. No, really. Glenn's ultimate mission is to build the world's first math museum called MoMath. Glenn left Renaissance Technologies LLC late in 2008 after a decade at the $15 billion New York-based hedge fund to start the Math Factory, a group that is dedicated to this project. Glenn began his love affair with math when he was a teenager. One year at summer camp, he broke his collarbone and couldn't participate in any of the sporting activities. All that was left to him was math, and he found out he really liked it. Glenn is coming to Ventura County to speak at the Discovery Center for Science and Technology as part of the Science Speaker Series hosted by Baxter Biosciences. The event will be this Thursday, April the 28th. Glenn Whitney received his undergraduate math degree from Harvard and his PhD in mathematical logic from UCLA. Prior to this, he was teaching at the University of Michigan and prior to going to Wall Street to become a Wall Street banker. Welcome to the show, Glenn. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And what an interesting idea, creating a math museum. But, I mean, let's get to the heart of it. Math? Fun? Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah, sure. I mean, take a look at, say, March Madness, the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
There's plenty of math in there. It's not that the problem isn't with math being fun. The problem with us not seeing the math that's all around us in everyday life.
Oh, okay. So it's something that's important to our daily lives. So how is it that math gets such a bad rap if it's so important to us in our daily lives?
Well, let's see. Suppose you took music and said, all you could do is, play one instrument and only scales, and there's going to be a huge test at the end of every year about how well you did that one skill. I don't think people would love music either in that kind of a society. So, we've focused too much on some of those rote details and lost the big picture of what math is, what it can do for us, and the beauty of it.
All righty. So at the heart of it is our educational system, and we'll come to that in just a minute. But so really, it's all about the testing that turns kids off. I mean, when you look back on it, it's kind of an interesting study that if you talk to fourth graders and you ask them about math, both boys and girls are equally talented and have equal interest in mathematics. However, by the time these same students reach high school, boys outnumber girls in both interest and arguably skill in math. So what causes this kind of dramatic reversal that we see in interest towards math by the genders?
Well, I think it's all about expectations, and it's about the cultural image that we have of mathematics. I mean, I'll give you an example. We were setting up a math tournament in the Bronx. It was the first ever middle school math tournament. And we were talking to actually the publicist, and they said, oh, so this is going to be a whole bunch of boys. I'm like, no. In fact, it's as you were saying, it's equally boys and girls, but just that expectation. Why would a girl be at a math contest? We need to bust up those expectations.
We absolutely do. Now, you have an interesting story because before opening up the museum, you actually did street fairs for mathematics. And you tell a very interesting story about one little girl who attended one of your math street fairs and pointed to one of the life-size puzzles there. Tell us that story, because I think that really exemplifies some of the excitement that you can get around math.
Right, exactly. So this is a giant-sized geometric puzzle called the Tetraxis, which we also sell through our website, a little hand-sized version. But we have a giant one, which, you have to use your whole body to put this together. And there was must have been about a five-year-old girl, cute as a button. And when she slid that last piece in and it clicks into place and the whole sculpture is built, she just got this huge smile on her face. She turned and said, Mommy, there's math in there. So that's what we got to do. We got to get people seeing the math. It's in all sorts of things around us.
All right, and I love it that you can get that excitement out of young kids. But one of the troubling aspects of math in our educational system today is that other industrialized countries, and even some emerging countries, are starting to leap ahead of the United States in math and science. Why is that? But more importantly, what's needed to reverse that trend?
Well, you know, there's obviously been a big push in this country about the importance of, say, for example, literacy. You got to read to your kids. You have to, you know, speak to your kids. You have to expose your kids to, you know, great books. We don't have anything comparable to that in mathematics, and other places do. Other places, you know, push that value of mathematics. If we have that same kind of message, and it's part of our message, which is that you need to, you know, have kids see the shapes in the world around them. You have to show them places where numbers can come in their lives, where networks of things, you know, are important to figure out problem solving, and that all of those activities are also important, then we could begin to turn around that trend.
All right. Now, children today are interested in video games and anything that is technology related. You would think that they would make the connection between the technology that they use and love so much and the mathematics that's behind the technology that created the things that they love so much. How come the children of any age really aren't making that connection? Any thoughts on that?
Right. Well, that's an excellent point. And in fact, I think Arthur Clarke has a quote here that's relevant, which is that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And it may be the problem of the point is that the technology has developed so much over the past decade that it's made the math behind it that it depends on almost invisible. That's one of the things we want to do in the museum is bring that out and make it visible again and understand, you know, the millions of mathematical operations that are going into, you know, making that alien that you have to destroy or the race car that you're, you know, careening around that corner, you know, making that all seem realistic.
We're talking to Glenn Whitney, everyone, who is the executive director of the United States' first mathematics museum called MoMath in New York. Now, Glenn, your background is very interesting as well. You studied math. You had the love that I talked about in the setup. You went to Harvard. You studied math, got a PhD in mathematical logic from UCLA, went to work teaching. Then you went to Wall Street. So I guess the big question is, why did you leave a good job on Wall Street at a hedge fund to start a math museum?
Well, you know, working at the hedge fund was interesting. There were problems to solve that were, you know, that were challenging. You know, you had to think about and work on. But, you know, in the end, I felt like, well, you know, we weren't doing anybody any harm, but it wasn't something where I felt like, you know, when I went into what I was doing, that I was going to, you know, be making the world a better place that day. I wasn't going to be hurting anything, but, you know, I didn't feel that sort of value of what I was contributing to the world each day. So, I wanted to find something where I would have that. And, you know, as you mentioned, I've had this sort of lifetime love affair with mathematics. And that went all through my hedge fund career. Obviously, we were using a lot of mathematics at the firm where I worked. And I wanted to share that with other people. And obviously, also, we have a problem with math in this country, with our math achievement. So, you know, some folks are great at figuring out how to, you know, address problems of poverty or hunger. And those are obviously, you know, even more important. But I felt like what I had to offer was my love and my wide range of experiences in math.
We're talking to Glenn Whitney. And Glenn, most interesting transition from hedge fund to being an executive director at a museum. So what skills did you take away from the hedge fund that helped you to start the mathematics museum, MoMath? I mean, aren't nonprofit skills dramatically different from working at a hedge fund?
Well, actually, I think I would challenge that. I've had you know, folks that I trust their advice say a not-for-profit startup is like any other startup. You've got the same challenges, and you know, you got to get the word out. You've got to convince people of the value of what you're doing. It's just that the rewards, the payoff in the end, isn't going to be, you know, dollars in an investor's pocket. It's going to be, you know, more people loving math, and ultimately, we're going to hopefully move the needle on math achievement. So, you know, the organizational skills, the creativity, I think that was at a premium in the job where I was before. I think those are some of the most important skills that, you know, translate right over to what I'm doing now.
Well, tell us about MoMath. Now, you've started the museum in New York. What were some of the obstacles that you faced when you were first setting it up? And where are you along the development path for the museum MoMath?
Sure. So, obviously, you know, one of the first challenges was to convince people that, yes, this is really going to happen, that, you know, we need this museum. But I have to say that it's such a different concept. It's something that, you know, it's very, you know, fresh and new. There's nothing like it in the country at the moment. Really, you know, helped with that, getting over that obstacle, getting great people involved. And that's something that we've been very fortunate with. We managed to lure away our chief of content, George Hart, from a nice position at Stony Brook University. Chief of design came from a leading museum design firm to join the firm. Our chief of operations, Cindy Lawrence, left the position as a national editor to join this project because they believe in it so much. So developing that belief really, you know, helped to get us off the ground. And now we've grown to 10 folks, and we just signed a lease for space in Manhattan at the north end of Madison Square Park. And so we're getting, you know, architectural plans drawn up and fitting our multitude of exhibit ideas, you know, into that space. And we're excited moving ahead toward a 2012 opening.
Well, that is exciting. We're talking to Glenn Whitney, who is the executive director of the United States' first math museum, MoMath. Now, Glenn, I think it's neat that you've got all of this interest and buzz around mathematics, but how do you address the concern that some people have over the deplorable lack of qualified math and science teachers in our public school? I mean, what good is stimulating the interest on the part of children when there aren't enough good teachers, or for that matter, interested parents, to nurture their interest in math?
Right. Well, that's another excellent point. And first off, I want to say when there's a problem, a multi-pronged problem, you have to attack on all the prongs. So sure, there's not good math teachers, but on the other hand, you know, why is that? Well, maybe some of those teachers got afraid of math in school. So you have to try to address it with the kids directly, and we also have to try to address this situation with teachers. So, you know, one of the things is that there are a lot of folks out there with a fear of mathematics. We recognize that. And some of those folks decided to go on and become teachers, and that's great. But now what we have to do is, I mean, children are emotional magnets, antennas. So they need to, they're going to pick up on the teacher's attitude. So what we need to do is bring in teachers and try to help shape their attitudes toward mathematics, show them the fun side of mathematics, show them some activities that they can do in class that'll be exciting for kids. And that way, you know, by addressing both, you know, the situation with the kids directly and also having programs specifically to help teachers, give them more tools to convey an excitement of mathematics, you know, that's the direction to solve the problem.
All right, Glenn Whitney. Now, I'm going to make you king for a day. Hopefully you're going to be a benevolent king. But what would you do to stimulate interest in science and mathematics? You're king for the day.
If I was king for the day, I think my first temptation would be to just change the list of topics that we do in math in the schools. It's been the same for nearly a century, and so many new mathematical discoveries have come in areas that could be every bit as accessible. They'll be a lot more, you know, relevant to the lives we lead today, and more fun and exciting. So I think we could really use a refreshing of this canon of topics that has been around for such a very long time.
All right. We're talking to Glenn Whitney, who is the executive director for the country's first math museum, MoMath. And Glenn, you're coming to Ventura County. You're going to be speaking on Thursday here in Ventura County at Baxter Biosciences. What will you be talking about on Thursday when you come into Ventura and have that speech?
Right. That's the Science Speaker Series for the Discovery Center for Science and Technology, and a new museum that we're very happy to be, you know, helping get off the ground. And I'll be talking about mathematical moments. So just some surprises that lurk in the world of mathematics. The whole audience is going to get involved. It's going to be just like our museum is hands-on interactive. This is going to be a hands-on and interactive talk. And everybody will get the chance to discover surprising shapes lurking inside a cube. You'd think that inside a cube, what shapes are there? It must be squares, not so fast. And we're going to have the entire audience become part of a giant simulated giraffe.
Simulated giraffe?
Indeed. You know, you look at the world around you and see, okay, a leopard has this pattern of spots, a giraffe has that pattern of spots, you know, some other animal has different kinds of, texture. Where does that come from? Well, math has the answer.
All right. We're talking to Glenn Whitney, who's the executive director for the Museum of Mathematics in New York, and he's talking about his upcoming speech that he is going to be giving at the Discovery Center for Science and Technology. If you're interested, you want to learn more about that, you can go to sciencespeakerseries.org, or you can go to Discovery Center, CNTR, discoverycenter.org, and you can find out more information about that. Glenn, it's fascinating. If people like what they hear, they're interested in math, they want to participate in some way, where would you direct them to go on the internet to learn more about MoMath, learn more about what you're doing in the world of mathematics?
Right. Well, the best place to start is at our website, momath.org. That's MOMATH.org. And there you can see our programs, our plans. You can sign up for our e-newsletter, keep up to date on everything we're doing. And also, we have a traveling exhibition called The Math Midway, which is going to be coming to the Discovery Center in Ventura. And so you can check that out on mathmidway.org.
mathmidway.org. Glenn, it's a fascinating subject. You're tackling an issue that needs to be addressed in this country. I commend you for that. And I applaud your efforts to open up the very first mathematics museum here in the United States, MoMath. Thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure being here.
It was quite a pleasure to have you as well.